So, welcome to Settle Down, It's Just Society's very first Easter special. And I am joined by my friend Easter Palomara, Santo Palomara. How are you, Santo?
Good. Still good morning. Good. Buona Pasqua, mate, as we say in Italian. It's
Very good.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, well, by the time this is released, I'm hoping that we get time to release this by Easter Friday. Is it called Easter Friday? No, it's called Good Friday.
It's Good Friday, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the resurrection.
Well,
Golly.
we're going to go into that. So if you,
Oh
if
no.
our Easter or if our listeners don't like Easter, this episode is going to be Easter heavy in particular. And for once, I've actually done a little bit of research on Easter, both the traditional story from people who I guess probably care, and then on the flip side, people who have taken it out of context and decided to add their own little spin to the story. So we'll go into that, but I think we have to address the elephant in the room, Santo.
Oh
Describe to me what you see on my head.
you look like a great big freaking condom. You got a condom on your head. I don't know what you've gone and painted. You've just I'll give you A for effort, E for A for effort. My dear friend Joel, he's just got an A4 bit of paper and he's just scribbled some bunny ears and just stuck it to his forehead.
And you know something,
I
that is
love
literally what I've done.
we're running on a budget, people. This is
Running on a budget.
running on a
Yeah.
budget.
And the only reason I did this was because A4 paper is tax deductible.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah,
It
no,
came
literally
up on the
what I have
screen.
done is I've gotten a piece of A4 paper and I've drawn two bunny ears on it, and I've got my beautiful wife to stick it to my head. And that is my Easter hat, because I'm sure as many Australian, I think, look, and we actually, speaking of that, we've cracked the international market. We
No
have,
way.
yes, we have one listener in New Zealand.
That's not much.
Yeah, I know. That's not much.
How do you
Yeah.
say hello in New Zealand again? There's a name for how do you say? Thank
Hulubru?
you very much, viewers. Sorry.
Hulubru?
Hello, bro. Cheers.
Hello, bro. Okay, yeah. So when we were kids, we'd have the annual Easter hat parade, and you get, all these children just turning up with shit on their heads, that, mum and dad have knocked up, the night before. So anyway, I didn't even wait for the night before. My dearest wife was actually in the room sellotaping this to my head moments before we started recording. As a matter of fact, you
Wow.
probably would have seen her just exiting out the door. Anyway.
I did see her walk out. She didn't even say hello. She just sauntered out, but that's okay.
Yeah, she's not a stranger to a good sauntering.
Oh, that's right. She does that a lot too. Yeah,
She
you've got
doesn't want
company
anything to
here.
do with this. Like, every time I mention the pod, I mean, look, to be fair, she's very, very encouraging, but at the same time, you can tell that inside she's kind of rolling her eyes and going, God, what has he said now?
Nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Santo,
I've done some homework too.
you
Being a
have.
good Catholic boy, yes.
Where do you want to start?
You go for it. You go for it, and I'll chase your tail, so to speak.
So previous to this, let me just give you my what I knew about Easter. Okay.
Yep.
So Jesus was nailed to the cross. I'm not sure why. I don't know if he committed a crime or if, like, I never even thought of it. I just knew that they nailed him to a cross. I don't know. I've got no idea why. Perhaps maybe it was just from who he is. I don't know. I'm not sure. So anyway, they took him to the middle of the town square at the bottom of, I For some reason, I thought it was in Italy, but I never thought of that either. But now I guess it's probably like in Israel, I would imagine. Mount Sinai, I think, was where he was nailed
That's
to
the
the
one.
cross. Yep. So
Yes.
I'm assuming that that was in Israel somewhere.
They paraded him. He had to
Yeah,
carry his own cross.
they flogged him, and then they made him
Yep.
drag this cross to the top of Mount Sinai, and he was nailed to the cross. Yeah, I don't know how long he lasted up there. There were two thieves that were next to him as well. And then they stabbed him in the side to make sure he was dead with a sword. And then they took him down and gave him to the people, I guess his disciples. And then they banged him in a cave. And then 3 days later, they went and opened up the cave again I'm not sure why. left something in there, maybe.
No, my understanding is, I think they, whoever was there at the time, they saw that the rock had been moved and they had a look and no one in there.
Okay. So they're walking past and they went, "Oh, the rock's moved. Go and have a look."
Apparently,
Oh,
yeah.
okay, all right. And then they walked in and they saw that his robes and everything were folded up neatly. But actually, no, I might have just, I
I
think I
don't think
just
he would
saw
have
that in
been.
one
I
of the
don't think
picture
he would have been
books.
that neat about it. But yeah, he's like he's just walked out.
Yeah. And then that must have happened on Easter Sunday, right? And then, and that look, that's it, mate. I went to a public school. They tried to teach us scripture in high school to varying degrees of success, and that was it. So anyway, that's my recollection of it. Well, not my recollection, I wasn't there, but my interpretation of the story. Do you have anything to add?
Well, being a good Catholic boy growing up in Melbourne, yeah, that was huge for us, especially at primary school and then later on in high school. So it was sort of, and being in a Catholic family, we celebrated all those things. I didn't really get into it. Oh, I don't say get it. Back then, it's not like what it is today. It was really drummed into you as certain, well, the Catholic religion got back then. It was, guilt, more guilt type of thing. But it was, I remember it being very, the lead up to it at the school and everything was massive. They'd have palms, they'd have the whole shebang, and you'd go to church, and especially in our family, it was mum celebrated. Like Fridays, we didn't do meat or anything like that, which you can touch on that as well, why they do that. It was just all fish. But going back to what you said, just doubling back a little bit on what you said about when they crucified him. Going by, I don't know if you ever, the story that Mel Gibson did about 10, 15 years ago, the movie.
First of all, just before we go into Mel Gibson, he's a fucking anti-Semitic psycho. So, okay, so he did
I
what was it,
love his.
the
All
Passion of
right.
Christ.
Okay. Sorry. So far, you've laid in. Last week it was
Paul Hanson.
Pauline Hanson, and now it's just giving good old Mel a kicking as well. That's okay. I
Okay, so
totally
go on.
said
Sorry, I
that.
didn't mean to interrupt.
So going by that, where was I going with this? Your fellow, I think that was at the time, the controversy over that whole film was that the Jews had a lot to do with it. And what had happened was, what was the leader at the time? Shit, he's on the tip of my tongue, of Rome.
Pope John Paul or something, or
No,
anyway,
no,
yeah,
no, 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 no,
we
no.
can't get caught up in minor details. So anyway, so what?
Anyway, who it was? He basically he argued the whole time. He was the, I think it was Caesar. I can't remember who it was. Sorry, it was a long time ago. He was saying, Okay, so you guys want to crew, you want to kill this guy for whatever reason. Okay, and he basically washed his hands off it, literally, because he pardon the pun, he didn't want no skin in the game. He had no skin in the game.
Mm.
But during the movie, you see the Jewish rabbis and all that were sort of totally against the big fella, Jesus. And so hence why they crucified him for so many other reasons. I don't know I don't want to get too much into it because I don't know enough about it.
I think he was, I'm not sure, but I think he may have just been someone who was seen to be sort of rattling the cage. Because obviously back then the church was a massive, forms of government probably weren't even, existing back then. It was the church that ran everything, the church and the royal empire, whatever it was. So anyway, thanks for that. What I did was a little bit of research, and it was actually quite educational, and it's good because
it was, yeah, same here.
Easter is a part of society and what we celebrate, and one of the major things that people look forward to each year, not necessarily me, or not necessarily you or the listeners, but there are people it's very, very important. There are people that I know who, are very, deeply religious and it's very important to them. They do Lent, which is a, from what I understand, they give up something that they, like a vice that they have. Like, for instance, a lot of people do chocolate, and a lot of people love chocolate. So for the month or 40 days leading up to Easter, they do Lent, they don't eat chocolate, they abstain. So anyway, I learned that Easter, it marks the resurrection of Jesus and the end of Lent. Okay, so I guess symbolically, that's when you are able to break your fast, and it gives hope of salvation. It gives hope of salvation because the sins of all people have already been paid for by the death of Christ. So in other words, he has already been nailed to the cross and suffered. Therefore, you can fuck up relatively guilt-free. Is that right?
Well, he died for our sins. That's in a nutshell what they're saying. This would have been a good conversation with another gentleman that we know. But it doesn't mean we're guilt free. The whole, if you get into the scriptures in the Bible, whether it be Old or New Testament, I've always said that the Bible, I've only read bits and pieces of it, is very much open to interpretation, and there's a lot of things in there that can be can cross over in today's lifestyle. I believe there is. It's like anything; it just depends on your interpretation to it. And if you read between the lines, there's a lot to learn from it.
Mm.
It just depends on how you want to look at it. People, as you know, through history, with many religions, people have their own interpretations and they justify it through certain actions, unfortunately, as we know, but we won't touch on that. So, but the whole, what you're saying about the Easter eggs and the fasting, yes, I think what they did, my understanding is, as well as what I read, is that they think they fasted for about 40 days. And what they would do is having eggs, just normal eggs, would break the fast. And it was because it showed new life. Sorry, I went a bit blank then. Having eggs was, equates to new life. And that's why they would do it. Hence,
so it's symbolic.
With Easter eggs. Yeah. I mean, yes, yeah, symbolic. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, it's interesting because I actually did a little bit of research about that particular subject, but as usual, everything with humans, there is always arguments, so the actual date of Christmas had to do with, was it the full moon and the spring equinox? And I think it was meant to be, and I did read this. I've got a few notes here, but it says they've argued the Orthodox Easter is, 14 days, after the whatever it is, the full moon. And then the other one, it's like, the spring equinox and the full moon. It's like, that day or something. And they tried to settle on a date, like a universal date between all the Orthodox and the Christians, Protestants. So Protestant is a word that kept on popping. I don't know what that means, but it must be like a branch of Christianity of some sort. The only thing I know about Protestants and Catholics is that in, I think, Northern Ireland, they're Catholic. In normal Ireland, they're Protestant. They don't like each other.
They've been at that for a while.
I've got an Irish mate, and he describes the Southern Irish as the Southern scum. Okay, so just on the Easter eggs, right? So I, as we discussed,
I've got a quick joke on that. Just quickly. There was a guy walking down the middle of Belfast, right? And he got held up. The guy pointed a gun at his back and he said, "Are you Catholic?" Or he goes, "Put your hands up." He goes, "You Catholic?" Or he goes, "Are you Catholic or Protestant?" He said, "Neither, I'm a Jew." And the guy got the gun and goes, "Jesus, mate, I must be the luckiest Palestinian in Belfast." Anyway, sorry.
All right. So one of the things is, right, for me, I've never understood the origins of the Easter egg and the Easter bunny. All right. Even the connection between eggs and what is a mammal, it's not, the only egg-laying mammals on the planet are actually in Australia, the echidna and the platypus, okay?
Platypus.
And they're monotremes. And a rabbit certainly isn't a monotreme. So
it's
even...
It's got to be a Western.
Hey? No, rabbit's just a mammal. It's like a fucking rat.
That's something that the Western culture must have adapted. No, I've never understood the rabbit either. It's funny you bring that up, but go on. Yep.
Well, okay, so the rabbits and eggs have nothing to do with the death of Christ, and rabbits and eggs have nothing to do with each other. So I'm not sure. So the only thing I could sort of find was that it dates back to 13th century in Europe, where they were banned as part of Lent. Okay, so the eggs, I'm assuming I know that they're very, nutritious, and they've got a lot of, good stuff in it, depending on your views on diet.
New life.
And life, yes. So they were part of Lent, and they saved them, the eggs, over the 40 days, and painted them for Easter to celebrate the end of Lent and, the end of having to make that sacrifice. And it was sort of like, our nutritional freedom is back. As though, back then in the 1300s, they had really a choice. Their fucking diets would have been terrible, I'd imagine. Having said that, probably better than what they are now. Probably not processed and sugary and shit. So the Easter egg hunts were made popular in the United States. It actually did specify the United States, of course, because obviously whoever wrote this was unaware that there is an entire planet outside of the borders of the United States.
I was just going to say the world revolves around America. There's no one else outside. How dare you even say that, Joel? It's all about the Americans.
Shit. If we ever do get around to getting that Michael DiMercurio on, we'll fucking question about that. I'd imagine he'd be pretty switched on. So the mid-1800s, the Easter Bunny, the Easter Bunny came from Europe in the 17th century. And nobody, I could not find a thing about the Easter Bunny. Couldn't find a thing.
I've got the same thing here. Like, the exact origins of the Easter Bunny tradition are unknown, although some historians believe it arrived in America with German immigrants in the 1700s. Rabbits are in many cultures known as enthusiastic. What do you call it? They're good at sex. So the arrival of baby bunnies in the springtime, you know what I mean, become associated with the birth and renewal. Notably, I can't read that. Demonstrating, including, formerly abandoned Easter traditions. Anyway, It seems to be, like I said, just something from the West, obviously, with the bunny.
Yeah. Well, in other countries as well, one of the things that I found out was that in other countries, it's not the Easter bunny. So, for instance, in Switzerland, the animal that brings the eggs is a cuckoo. Cuckoo? So in Switzerland, cuckoo. It's the Easter cuckoo.
Sort of makes a bit more sense.
You know, I think a cuckoo's a bird, isn't it? Well, it is. I know it's a bird. Cuckoo, I think. Well, no, I thought, you know, you got the cuckoo clock, right, which is like the beep, beep, you know, or whatever it is. But I didn't realise that a cuckoo was an actual bird. I thought it was just like a made-up thing, like a fucking unicorn or a dragon.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cuckoo exists. Yeah, bloody oath, well, it does.
Obviously, yeah. And in Westphalia, wherever that is, if you know where Westphalia is, please email into joelcarpin@gmail.com.
What's it called? West?
Westphalia.
Westphalia.
Yeah. It's the Easter fox. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Easter fox. Yeah, so that's pretty much wraps up. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I actually also listened to a 4-minute and 17-second story on YouTube about the modern story of Easter and what Westerners have made it into and how it's celebrated. And I just took a couple of notes. They're not written very well, so I might be a little bit slow and a bit stumbly, but I'm going to try and get them, because I just jotted this down as I was sitting by the river last night. Okay, so the story of the Easter Bunny on a cold night, and these are direct quotes, exactly how they are said out of this story that I listened to on YouTube. I might even put a link. Actually, no, I won't, because I don't know the laws behind it, but this is what was written. On a cold night in a cozy house, a round old couple were making Easter eggs. The old round man was blowing the insides of the egg out. So I'm not sure. The old round man was blowing the insides of the egg out.
Yeah, pop a hole in the top, pop a hole in the bottom, and you blow them out.
Okay, so that's not a euphemism.
Marley used to do it. Sorry?
That's not a euphemism.
No.
Okay. No, all right. Okay. I've just never blown the inside of an egg out, that's all. And when I have, it's been X-rated. there was a rabbit who watched this. I'm also assuming the round old woman was watching as well. Yeah, so they're all in this house blowing the insides of eggs out. And then they melted chocolate and put the chocolate inside of the eggs, and then the rabbit went and delivered the eggs. One year, the old couple were too old to help the rabbit deliver the eggs and make the eggs. So the rabbit went and found a hole in a tree and started an Easter egg factory and got his friends to help. And that's pretty much, I mean, there are a few other minor details that I left out, but that was pretty much the idea of it. So we've gone from some poor fella sticking up for what he believes in, Jesus, being nailed to a cross, flogged in a public square, made to drag what I'd imagine to be two railway sleepers up a hill, and then nailed to it, all because he cares about you and I, to having two old people blowing the insides of eggs out inside of a house while a rabbit watches. So,
What did I say earlier on about the Bible? Somewhere along the line, it gets lost in translation and people seem to, it's like the Chinese whispers. It's sort of,
gets
stretched and stretched and stretched. And we seem to, it's become so commercialized these days that it's, it is what we see today.
What a world we live in. I'm not sure if you can hear in the background, but we seem to be having some sort of door slamming festival back there. Hopefully it stops.
No, I can't hear it.
No. Okay,
just quickly,
good.
just
Yep.
I'll quickly add, Westphalia is a region of north western Germany and one of three historic parts of the state of North Rhine Westphalia. It has been area of 20,000 square kilometers and 7.9 million inhabitants. There you go. It's a place.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's, it sounds like a place where Jews would generally not be welcome.
Yes, you.
Anyway,
yes.
Okay. So, look, do you have anything to add about Easter?
Look,
you like,
can
you go with your research, of course.
With like a exact, well, you covered, but just basically what you said. I mean, in regards to the origins and how it came about, and like I said, it gets sort of a little bit stretched out of proportion for us. But being European background, like I said to you, it's a day for. Like I said, it starts on Friday, Saturday. Sunday is going to be pretty big for me. My mother-in-law still celebrates it, and so we all get together and there's more food than usual. Look, I mean, these traditions are good. I think they're good for people to follow. Not everyone. But I think it's more these days, it's for kids. And like I said, it gets lost in translation.
Mm.
These days we don't, unless you're religious, it's more, oh yeah, we're going to have, it's Easter. It's a time to go on holidays, have eggs. And that's about it. And it's about Easter bunnies. If people sort of looked into it for what it actually really means, probably not. But if you did, it's quite interesting. Like we just did, I didn't realize, I'd forgotten a lot about it because, like I said, it was habit into me when I was younger. But I sort of, as I got older, I went away from it all. But then when I was young, yeah, as I got older, I went away from it. But as time goes on, these stories have different meanings to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, what you're saying about this, He got hung up for his got nailed to a cross for his sins. He suffered, so we don't. But obviously, we didn't get the message because we still do it.
Yeah,
I think I said that week.
No, look, I agree.
I think I said that weeks. I think I said that weeks ago. We torture ourselves as humans, especially mentally.
Yeah. Look, and look, like everything, the major holidays, Christmas and Easter, they seem to be, things that are not seen so much for what they're intended to be, but more times of, getting together and being with each other. And which, to be fair, like if I was Jesus, I'd go, okay, you know what, it was, 2,000 years ago? Was it 2,000? Was that the birth of him? What happened 2,024 years ago? Was it his birth or was it his death? It was his birth, wasn't it?
Oh, I've got to look into it.
Yeah,
I don't
of course,
know,
because
sir.
You got the fucking manger and you got the manger and shit. Like, yeah. So
the manger and shit. Yes.
Yeah. So it'll be like 1,990 years ago, because I think he was like in his mid 30s when he got hung up. So. Yeah, like I think he would sort of be looking down upon us going, you know what, like, yeah, all right, it was pretty shit to be nailed to a cross, and they've kind of lost sight of it and they've sort of bastardized it. And, Cadbury, the maker of the Easter eggs, probably sort of exploited it a little bit.
Yeah, they were around a few thousand years ago.
But, at the end of the day, look at all these happy people on my earth. Like, they're all happy. They're all getting together. They're all having a great time. They're connecting. So you know what? Even though it sucked to be nailed to a cross and everyone's sort of kind of lost sight of what's going on, there is stuff that's come from it that's quite good. So
I think even go on.
Oh, I was just going to move on to the next thing, and that was what you are actually doing for Easter. Have you got the weekend off? Are you going to catch up with family and friends?
I'm working a couple of days. I've got Sunday off, like I said to you, and I'll be spending it with family. It's going to be big, about 20 of us. And yes, that'll be it. And another day goes, yeah, that's about it. Plenty of food. My wife sometimes with her mum, I think she might go to church. I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that she does with her mother. Her mum does that. My mother does it. She's very heavily involved in the church. And that's okay if that's what people wish to do. That's
absolutely.
It's a sanctuary for them, so to speak. And mum finds peace in that. So does my mother-in-law. And it's not for everyone these days. That's what I'll be doing personally. I won't be going to church, I don't think, unless I get dragged to there. But if I have to go, I'll go.
Yeah, look, I'll be off into. Yeah,
and yourself.
Me? No, so my wife is flying out to Los Angeles tonight. And I don't think she gets back until Sunday. So I'm working until Good Friday. I knock off at about midday. And then I will just be putting the tie rod ends in the highlights. And trying to recruit one of them, trying to recruit one of the neighbors to help me bleed the brakes. Besides that, look, mate, I'm just gonna enjoy a couple of days off. I'm gonna catch up on a little bit of rugby. I'm going to just chill out and just yeah. We've had a few developments on the St. Leonard's house, which I probably shouldn't discuss just yet, but
okay,
yeah, we'll
don't need to.
No, no need
we'll
to,
up.
No need to, no need to. Okay, so I feel reasonably satisfied that we have covered Easter, okay? So how about we
very,
take...
Very clumsily, I reckon.
Very clumsily, yeah. And you know something, like yeah. I'm going to call out to a few people, right? At the moment, the only connection we have is through personal messenger. If you're friends with me on Facebook or whatever, or Instagram.
Oh, I've got to do this.
We haven't got an email up and going yet. I've given Santo one job and he hasn't been able to do that yet.
I can give him a drive-by. Fucking hell.
You
can't just give lay in the boot and me on fucking live on air, you prick.
Mate,
I'm trying
I'm
my best.
The boot into everyone. This is
57. These things are difficult for me, but I will get the email up and running.
In the meantime, I would love to start getting some emails from people or messages, text message or Facebook. My email address is joelkarpin, joelkarpin at gmail.com. And if there's anything that you would like us to discuss, if there's anything you'd like us to bring up, if there's anything that you would like us to open a conversation about, or you have any opinions about what we've said, I'd really like to hear about it. Just in the meantime, Santo, we're going to stop recording. We're going to have a 5-minute break and we'll come back to this, okay?
Not sure.
Yeah, we are now. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so part two of the Easter special. The first part was obviously a little bit Easter heavy. I guess being Easter and an Easter special, that was to be expected. So now we have part two of the Easter special, and we probably can work a little bit of Easter-related subjects into it, but...
We will. Actually, it's a good segue. You just nailed it. Yes, you will.
Yep, absolutely. So, Santo, last podcast, I actually brought up the royal phone.
The royal family?
No, the photoshopping scandal.
Yes.
The photoshopping scandal.
Oh, right? Yes.
The woman, the princess, all right, made some of the most minuscule changes to a family photograph that you could even imagine. Now, I am somewhat of a novice photographer. I have some very nice lenses. I've got a shitbox old camera with some quite nice lenses. And I looked at those pictures, all right, after they had told me that they were photoshopped, and I couldn't tell. Couldn't tell. And it was shit like, you know, the what's the oldest child called?
Not Louis. Louis's the second one, I think. I don't know. It just has as much attention I pay.
George. Is it George?
George. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. His hand is like slightly not right. Oh, look, you know what? I couldn't even see that even after him. And then there was a crease in the shirt, or there was some fucking shit. Now, I don't know about you, but who gives a fuck?
I was just about to say politely, what's the problem? Not you, I'm not asking. Well, just in general, what is the problem with it? What's the drama?
Oh.
And people just, look, again, they just, the British media would have to be some of the worst around. Media in general, they like to make up, you know, certain, but yeah, the British media, they're a piece of work. At the end of the day, this woman, this lady, look, I'm not a royalist, but I do like the new generation that's coming through. And I think this woman now has got, she's got cancer, whatever that is. We don't know what part or where it is. She's got cancer and she's got to deal with that. Look, everyone say, oh, well, who cares? She's going to be the next queen. But it's just another human being. She's got a family. That's how I see it. And it's not nice. And she's got to deal with all this. And so does he. And he's compared to us doing what we do. But this guy's got to still go out there and do his so-called duties as a future king. I think he'll get the gig within the next 5 years, I reckon. I reckon his dad's not going to hang around too long.
No, well, he's got cancer as well. They've always seemed to be a bit of a trend, doesn't it?
Yes, he's not well. So, but I think they'll do a good job. Hopefully, him and his brother can get their heads straight in regards of stop blowing. But you get that when you get a third person in the family who's a bit of a gronk. we're talking about Meghan Markle, the B grade actress. But yeah, look, like I said, these things are not good to my only, yeah, I wish them well. Hope they do really well. The only qualm I got about his brother, Harry, I'm sorry. You don't air your dirty laundry in public.
Okay, so look, looks like I keep doing that. I keep on knocking.
I'm talking about him. I'm not talking about what's happening. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm definitely not a monarchist. Like, I'm not someone who wakes up and, you know, lives and breathes the royal family. And when there's a parade, I don't stand out the front of my house with a folded handkerchief on my head and my bloody trousers rolled up, waving a little British flag. my teeth are good, and I do enjoy fish and chips, but not on a weekly basis. But look, I am.
Jeez, you covered a whole heap of stereotypes there. My God.
Oh yeah, big time. So look, my view on the royal family is they're there, that they don't really play that big of a role in day-to-day life. They're just kind of there. I mean, I'm sure they cost a lot of money and all the rest of it, but you know, to get rid of them, and it'd just be a pain in the ass. And besides, what are they going to do afterwards? Like, if they came in and said, right, there's no more royal family, you're costing too much money, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. What are you going to do with ex-royals? Well, you're just going to fucking go give them a housing estate house or something and say, right, from now on, you know, you've got to go work down at the local supermarket, Prince Charles, and you know, the rest of you have to go and do apprenticeships as plumbers. Like, what can you do with them? Like, you're kind of stuck with them. As soon as you say, right, you're a royal, you know, that's it. That's your job. So regardless or not, if they're sort of, you know, given the title as a royal or not, they're still always going to be supported by the public. They have to be.
The public likes them.
Well,
public supports them, and it's they do what they do. I mean, it's not you're born into it, and it's just the way it is. And you've got to there's obviously rules and regulations that go with that.
yeah,
What
look,
would we do with them if they weren't around? I don't know. I don't, like I said to you, it's I think the new generation coming through will be very different compared to this, but there's still there's obviously pro look, it's a world that you and I will never understand and never know. So they've got to, and I think as normal as what's the son's name?
Harry,
No, the other one.
William,
William, yeah, the one that's married to Kate. I mean, as much as they try to normalize their life and they're doing their best, it's the fact is they're royals and you're always going to be scrutinized, doesn't matter what you do. And then, like I said to you before, unfortunately, you're in a country that whose media thrives off this stuff. And look what they did to his mum.
look, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the royals need us more than we need the royals. Okay. But look, going back to the picture thing, at the end of the day, that was very clearly just a happy snap, at the end, it was just a family happy snap, simple as that, right? And it deserves absolutely no, critical, analysis or anything. It's just, and something else. Okay. Now, she, if this cancer really is bad for her, right, that could be one of the photos that, is cherished, like one of the last photos that is taken of, well, I mean, it won't be the last photo, but you know what I mean? Like, this is before your mother got ill,
Oh,
and regard.
Jesus. That hasn't
What?
gone anywhere yet. Look,
Yeah, but
everyone does
what
it.
I'm saying is this, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, when these illnesses don't discriminate. Yeah, they
Of
don't
course, they don't
discriminate.
discriminate.
So, that could be it. And any family, it's just bullshit. Anyway, so look, fuck it. If you're someone who's got their knickers in a knot about, a slightly augmented picture of, the princess and her family, then you know what? I'd have a good hard look at yourself in the mirror and perhaps maybe consider taking up a hobby.
Well, just quickly on that, like I said to you, everyone does it. Wedding photos, everyone docs. I mean, you just have to look at, people whoever do that bloody Instagram or whatever it is. Everyone's trying to be so-called perfect and then probably just trying to clean it up a bit and people have noticed it. Look, I reckon let's leave it alone.
Well,
It
okay,
is what it
hang on,
is.
wait. I just got one more question for you.
Go on.
Have you seen on social media where they've got the filters where you've got like a woman who has like sort of put a little bunny nose on her nose and like made her
I think
eyes
that's cool.
really
Is it isn't it
like a
called
filter?
there's a name for it. But anyway, yes, I do understand. That's I know what there's a name for that they do. Yep.
Do you think
Yes.
that Princess Catherine or Kate or whatever her name is would have gotten in as much trouble if she had have put in an obvious filter and made her entire family look like a family of rabbits with big eyes, if it was like
No,
really obvious?
they probably would have said it's cute. Look at that. They would have everyone looked at, oh, they're just like us. They have fun. They do this and that. Everyone would have said how wonderful it is. Oh, I just think, look, they're
There you
just
go.
I go back to my statement that I always say to you, you're important, but you're not necessary. Life has a wonderful way of making everyone very, very humble. I don't care who you are, from the Putins to whoever it else. Maybe remember. We all go to the same place. Eventually, in the next, whatever it is, we'll end up as topsoil, whether you like it or not.
Princess
Make
Kate might
peace
be
with it.
sooner rather than later.
There, that's it. Since we're keeping the, since, go on, did you quickly want to say, go on? Yep.
No. I think that's fairly well addressed. So, what's the next topic that
The
we
next
have?
one, which is it's a bit of an Easter theme, so we're going down that road. Now, I know you're a rugby fan like I am. Okay, league. So,
Ah, yes. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. I
Yes.
know
So
what you're
now we're going to
doing.
touch on something. We're going to touch on something. I happened to catch it the other week, so I looked into it a bit. And Mr., I say Mr., because he's a young man of 26, Mr. Latrell Mitchell from the
Okay.
Rabbitohs.
Now, okay.
So,
So for those of you who might
what
not
is
know, Latrell Mitchell plays for a team called the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yes.
And obviously the Rabbitohs, Easter Bunny, rabbits. Okay. So just I for those.
How clever am I, Joel?
Yeah, I know. And you know what? The penny only dropped when you said it. And I thought, wow, yes, I know where you're going with that. That was terrific. But like, I just felt as though I needed to kind of point that out. So people who didn't know rugby league weren't sitting there going, huh? What? Okay. Anyway, yes. So go on, Santo.
So Mr. Latrell Mitchell, they happened to interview this young man literally seconds after they finished the game. I mean, he's a big lad. I think he's about 105 kilos, something like that. He's a big, I think he's a centre. I think he plays. Excuse me. Anyway, so he went on this rant and swore his absolute mouth off and then carried on about, oh, it doesn't really matter. I scored 100 tries, pat on the back for me. And apparently he's in trouble for it. And I saw the interview, and the question is, in the heat of the moment, just finished a game. Now they're saying he's not a team player, and yeah, they want to move him on, and yada 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 yada. Look, he opens up his mouth. Seriously, if he wasn't playing rugby, he'd be stacking boxes at Coles. Let's be blunt.
Yeah.
He's not the sharpest tool. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Okay. So, yes.
Your opinion, Mr. Carpenter.
my opinion. Okay,
Yeah, you're a big lad. You play rugby, yeah.
So I know. So I have won games playing rugby and Aussie rules and rugby league that we weren't expecting to win. And I've also played games of rugby union, rugby league, and Aussie rules that we weren't expecting to lose, okay?
Yep.
And with both those situations come, certain emotions, okay? I'm not sure if they won or lost the game. So I can understand how, an unexpected result could sort of, exude or expose a tirade of emotional driven drivel, if you will. Having said that, I know that the people who are professional sports people, they go through training, media training, they go what can be said, what can't be said. They are basically told that as soon as they are put in front of a camera, a set of headphones on, that when there's a microphone in front of their head, they take the football player's hat off and they put the media hat on, okay? So I don't know what's happened. He's just had a brain fart. Perhaps maybe he was listening to some rebellious music or something before the game. But for whatever reason, he has
decided... No, this was after the game.
But... maybe he was just in a bit of a rebellious mood or something, but whatever it was, yes, I agree that from someone, and Latrell Mitchell's a big player. He is like, he'd probably be, in the top sort of five, paid players in the league. And what he, or the way he conducted himself during that interview, I don't believe is in line with what the club expected and what the fans expect. And we've gone over this before. If you are a high-profile player of any sport, you are a leader and you are expected to behave in a certain way and set a good example for the people that follow you, and in particular the children. And I would hate to think that any child would have listened to that interview with, beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah, we did all right. Beep, man. Because then they're going to go to school and go, well, the troll did it, so it's okay for me to do it. So, look, my opinion is he should be sanctioned, he should be disciplined, but I don't think he should be disciplined in such a way that he or his position within the side is compromised, or he gets an enormous fine or any sort of permanent kind of repercussions. But I certainly think that he should be forced to face the consequences. And the good old-fashioned public apology is one of the most humiliating things you will ever have to do particularly if you've got an enormous ego. So that is also a very, very good way to get around the issue. Santo, what do you think?
Mate, your answer exhausted me. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Hit the one in the middle, boy. Phil Gould, which I love Phil Gould. He's just got one of those real beer heads. He has, hasn't he? He just looks like he loves his beer. I've always enjoyed his commentary. I think he said that, and I won't quote, it's not a quote, but he said something on the lines of he should have been reined in many years ago. And they think the way it came across was that it was all about him. The whole, and this was the big, that was the whole thing. Not just the swearing is one thing, right? It was not just the swearing. And then he turns around and goes, oh, well, he's sort of near the end of it as he was walking away. It's, oh, I've got 100 tries. That justified that behavior. So, and Phil Gould said that, yeah, this young man should have been reined in a long time ago. But it goes back to what you said earlier on. Yes, they've got a responsibility. We've seen it with the AFL footballers. Excuse me. But why is it you can get one individual that you just look at and you go, that guy's a captain, that guy's a leader, and he does it so freaking well. Look at Cam Smith. Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth every time he spoke. You've got so many different people. And then you've got these people, like, even when I saw the intro, and I actually watched it again just out of curiosity, and yeah, just come across as a dumbass bogan. Sorry, I've got to say it. In saying that, in his defense, and you know, it's probably contradictory what I'm saying, the guy just finished a game. You're hyped up, and you just go and shove a microphone in his face. Do you know what I mean? But then you can do it with other players. They do it with the AFL players when they're walking off the field. You know, you've got Dangerfield, you've got all these guys, and they can speak quite eloquently, still panting. And you know, it slips out once in a while, but he just carried on as if he was in a backyard freaking barbecue. And you just go, seriously, mate, really?
But they're all different kinds of people. Like, you know, like Latrell Mitchell, and if he hasn't already, I can promise you that at some point during his career, he's going to get caught up in some sort of controversy. Like, you know, here's a video of Latrell Mitchell and so-and-so, pissing in the corner of a fucking bar or punching the fuck out of something.
And what's wrong with that?
yeah, exactly. Like, he's one of the ways.
But they're footballers. They're immune.
But then you've got other people, as you said, Paddy Dangerfield. I mean, if you saw him at the Brownlow presentation a few years ago, he doesn't even know how to drink a beer. Yeah, they gave him a pot of beer. He's standing up there receiving his award, and he drank it like, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know. That is not how you drink a beer. It was like sort of, he was touching it to his lips. His mouth wasn't open.
But again, that is his nature. That is who he is.
Exactly. So
if you're looking at something like that through your filter, so to speak, is what you're going to judge that on or what everyone else judges it on.
What I'm saying is this, right? If you've got someone who's done something as ridiculous as Latrell Mitchell, all right, rein him in. Take the captaincy off him. Kick him out of the leadership group. Get a Paddy Dangerfield or a Luke Hodge or, you know, whoever else, and get them in there because they're real club
different,
leaders. Yeah, they
different,
might be
different, different people. Yeah.
They're different people.
They're totally different.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So that's that. Latrell Mitchell is an idiot. We do a podcast. We do a podcast that no one listens to, and I managed to speak better than he did. So let's
just
move
quickly
on.
Touch. Yeah. Since we're touching on sport. Quickly, Tyson and Jake Paul, yes or no?
Well, they're going to fight. Mate, I'm so torn. I got no idea. Look, you know what? I've never actually seen Jake Paul fight. I don't know his background.
I think he's had about three or four professional fights. He's an ex-YouTuber or fucking Instagram star or something. That's how he got into it. His brother's a wrestler, I think.
That gives me an idea.
There you go. I'm not fighting you, you big buffhead.
Look, you know something? Okay, so this is a massive gamble for Tyson, right? Because, you know, I think he lost his last professional fight years and years ago. You know, maybe he's run out of money and he needs just a little bit of a top
no,
up. You know,
this is money. It's going to be on Netflix Live.
Netflix or KO or yes. Anyway, look, whatever it's going to be on. Look, I'm excited for it, but I really want Tyson to win. Okay, just for old time's sake, just to, and I hope once he wins, he never comes back, because there's nothing worse than seeing someone who was so good at what they did, so graceful and so tough and so skillful and fit, and then they go in and it's you know, watching this feeble old man sort of, you know, squiggle his way around the ring and get his ass kicked by someone who's 30
years
younger.
Have you seen any of the videos of him training?
Look, to be honest with you, if you showed me a picture of some drunk guy throwing a few punches, you know, I don't know boxing from a bar or so, but I'd have to, you know, know.
I would suggest
to have an opinion about something, I need to know about something, and I know nothing about boxing.
I used to spar, and I used to do boxing. So I'm telling you, watch some of the scenes of recent what Tyson. He's 57. By the time he fights, he's going to be 58. Look, I hope no one gets hurt. No one gets hurt. But I hope
fucking someone does get hurt. It's boxing.
I reckon he'll beat the living suitcase out of him with a couple. I think they'll drag it out, and it'll either going to be some sort of draw. This is just a money grab. Let's be really clear about it, what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of those things that it's a concern as well, because at that age, he's my age, and to be doing that sort of shit and to be, you know, looking at getting injured, he doesn't need the money. He's got a few businesses going. So anyway, on that, just quickly, next topic. I've got a few things here today. It's all sport related. I thought we might just touch on all of them, bits and pieces. The Matildas.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Probably people are going to text you and write in. Apparently, at Suncorp Stadium, they've commissioned a bronze statue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They got into the World Cup, I think, last year, and everyone carried on over. It was pretty good to watch.
Yeah, they did quite
well. And they got their asses kicked by England.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they
did.
Did
they? Okay.
Yeah, well, England. No, bigger girls.
You're not asking me. Okay, yep. They did.
Because I watched it.
Okay, yep.
So, how about you win something pretty big before they start giving statues out to people?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to be really blunt here.
Okay.
I mean, stop fucking, I'm sick to death. I saw it, I read it, and I went, you fucking, and I looked at it and I went, okay. All right, you got big crowds in, and good luck to them, because a lot of them playing this, some of the girls playing the other leagues in England, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think Sam Kerr's in a bit of trouble, because apparently she had a go at some cop in England, called him a white pig or something like that. But this happened a few years ago, so that's ongoing. But what I just thought, I when I looked at it and I read it, I thought, you serious? What have you fucking won?
Okay.
Why?
Okay, you know something.
This constant patting on the back of women, like they can't do anything wrong. They're just so brave. They're this. Stop it. Until they win something, then let's go down that freaking road.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So Joel's left wing progressive hat is on.
Oh, and of course you are. Of course you are. You're on the fence. You're
okay. No, I'm not on the fence.
We decided
that Joel was no longer going to be on the fence, and he was going to share his opinions. Okay. So yes, I do.
Even if it just quickly, even if it wasn't the girls, it was another team. Say yeah. It even wasn't them. It was another team. Say it was the Australian soccer. Even the guys don't even get that.
No, I'm all right. So this is for years and years, women. Okay, so sports. Okay, so first of all, sports are business, right? Doesn't matter if it's the club down the road, you know, the soccer or the football club down the road, or
yeah, fully understand it. Where are you going with it? Yep, yep.
Like, it's a business, right? So, you know, so pretty much all the root of all business is supply and demand, right? The more demand there is, the more you supply, and the more supply demand, the more it grows, the more it grows, the more it grows, the more you know funds and resources you have to you know splash around, right? Now, for years and years and years, you know, women in sport, it wasn't as nearly as big as the male sports, and their wages and their conditions and everything else reflected that. Now, I somewhat agree with you that, you know, handing out bronze statues in front of in front of stadiums should probably be reserved for people who have, you know, committed their life and careers and everything to a sport or a game. And, you know, those should perhaps only be reserved for people after they've retired and things like that. I think it might be a little bit premature. Having said that, any kind of boost to sports for females, I can only see as a good thing. I would like to see all sports, all female sports develop. I would like to see, you know, the women be able to commit the time that men can to their sport so they can develop their skills and make their sport as competitive as possible, not only for them, but for everyone who's watching it, all right? There is no reason why women's sport should be treated any differently to men's sport. So look, to answer your question, I think a bronze statue to someone who is still playing and is still in their early 20s, it might be jumping the gun a little bit.
It's the team. It's the team. The whole team's getting a bronze statue made up. Oh, it's the team. It's statues, I think, of the whole team.
How big is this fucking statue?
Don't know. They're doing some sort of bronze statue for the Matildas.
What, like, that's where they play. What, like an entire statue?
I that's all I know. I got a.
All right. Okay. Well, that's fucking good. Ludicrous.
It's not of one person. No. This is the whole team. This is, you're not listening, sir.
Oh no. I apologize. Okay. No, that's ludicrous. You can't. I mean.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. On this,
I was going to pull you up.
Yeah. Now, on this particular occasion, to have an entire. On this particular occasion, to have a bronze statue of an entire side that lost a World Cup is insane. Hang on a sec. I'm just going to take this phone call. So don't hang up. Hang on. Hang on a sec. Andrew, I'm just in the middle of recording a podcast, mate.
So congratulations, but you can be back with
you. Okay. No worries. So do you have anything to say to our listeners on Settle Down, It's a Society? Okay, well, you don't want to give a plug to your business. So this is Andrew Kibbis from Bellarine Property. So if you have any queries or need any help with any sort of property-related things down on the Bellarine Peninsula in Victoria, Andrew will be happy to help. So thank you, Andrew, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joel. Bye-bye.
Bye. You there?
Can't believe you took that phone call.
Did you hear something that was important?
No.
Okay. Well, I might have to bleep that first bit out. I'm not sure yet, but
there you go. The team that captured Australian hearts will be immortalised by the end of the year with a special tribute in one statue.
Okay.
There you go. They're going to become immortalised. Anyway, look, at the end of the day, that's all I'm saying. They haven't won anything, so why are we celebrating this? Why are they getting a statue?
Well, I mean, look.
The reality of it is that apart from these girls, yeah, good on them and good luck to them. They do dedicate their lives, a certain part of their lives. Like everyone else, we've all got a use by date.
Excuse me.
So, you know, will it be as big as they have to promote it? You know, we have to promote women's sports, women's football and all that. Yeah. But the reality is when you take away all the emotion and all the hoo-ha and all the commercials and everything like that, you're never going to bring the money in that, that male sports do. Let's be really clear about it.
Well, okay. Okay. Well, look, No.
That's a fact, Joel. And the AFL or the soccer, all that, they all have to. The government has to prop all this stuff up.
Well, look, I mean, it's a fact now. But as women's sport, you know, develops and becomes more competitive, there's no reason why they can be held back. There's no reason why they should be held back by male.
They're not held back at all. The NBA, the NBW, whatever it is in America, is subsidized by the men.
Mm.
If it wasn't for the men, they wouldn't have a freaking league. So anyway.
Yeah.
Next. Okay. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Okay. Well, look, how about we wrap it up?
Yep.
We haven't really gone over time, but...
It's okay because you got that phone call and I can tell you want to take it. So you
No. It's just that we're running out of time and I don't think we have time to address another topic. And not only that, there's always next week. Okay, so thank you, all of our listeners. Keep on downloading, keep on liking, sharing, subscribing, and telling your friends by phone call, text message, Facebook message, messenger pigeon. Two cans on the end of a piece of string. I don't care. But, and I hope you're enjoying our content. Santo, thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for just being you. Everyone out there, be kind to each other. If you have any opinions, message myself or Santo, joelcarpin@gmail.com. And we will talk to you.
Thank you. Take care, Joel.
At some point. So Joel. Thank you, Santo.
Riverdurch, bye-bye.
Hang on. Oh, fuck. That little bar thing at the bottom. Can you stop? Oh, hang on. No. Here it is up here. Okay.